Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, pregnancy-focused chiropractor, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Today, I have the honor of hosting two esteemed guests from Tokyo, Japan, and from the Prenatal Memory Global Project, a revolutionary initiative that delves deep into the concept of prenatal memory and its implications on our life and society. My first guest is Dr. Akira Ikagawa, a seasoned obstetrician and gynecologist with over 40 years of experience. He has extensive background in prenatal memory research and has published over 80 books on the subject, some of which have been translated into 5 languages. His aim is to foster a society that is collectively compassionate towards one another, using the extraordinary concept of prenatal memory, holistic childbirth education, and conscious parenting as the tools. Joining Dr. Ikagawa is Yuko Igarashi, a consciousness studies graduate from Evergreen State College and a highly proficient English-Japanese translator. She's been working closely with Dr. Ikagawa, and together they launched the Prenatal Memory Global Project in 2018. She's currently working to become a world citizen and ambassador to help create a sustainable future by spreading the concept of prenatal psychology and prenatal memory. Dr. Ikagawa and Yuko, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Berlin.
I have to say that my initial introduction to your work was when we were searching for content, valuable content, for the Informed Pregnancy Plus streaming service that we launched. And I did the search and we came up with the prenatal memory documentary. And I was fascinated from the first moment. Graciously, you were able to provide the content for the service, and anybody who's listening should watch it. It's a very fascinating watch. The first time I watched it, I was just curious and interested. The second time I watched it, it had a more deeply profound effect on my mind, and it just really opened my eyes into a whole bunch of different elements of pregnancy and childbirth and early parenting and early bonding with our babies. And ever since then, I've been talking about it with my patients and mind blown. It just gives so much different perspective to the earliest relationship we have with our babies. So I'm grateful that you made it. I'm grateful that we found it. I'm grateful that you're helping us share it with our audience. And I'd love to learn so much more about you and your background and your work. Dr. Ikagawa, what sparked you to get into medicine and obstetrics and gynecology originally?
医療が、きちんとやってるかということでいいのかな。医療に、入ったきっかけと、あと産婦人科として、こうやろうとした、そのきっかけというのを知りたいということなんですけれど。もともと、私が高校にいた時に、医大ブームというのがあって、日本、大学病院が、たくさんできるという時期に重なったので、医者になろうかなと思ったっていう、その時代の流れでなろうと思って。産婦人科を選んだのは、産婦人科が魅力がなくなってきた患者さんが少なくなってきた時代背景があって、魅力がないとこに行った時に将来、きっと、たくさんの患者さんが見れるようになるんじゃないかなと、逆に思ったので、産婦人科を選んだということなんです。
はい。 Well, Dr. Berlin, I just translate Dr. Ikagawa's answer. The reason why he went into the medicine is because by the time when he was in the high school, there was a huge movement of creating more universities, hospitals, and that there are more opportunity to learn about a medicine. So he just went along with the time, how they were carrying more career into this medical field. So then his aim was for the medicine. And the reason why he went into the OBGYN was that it seemed that it's more less attractive than other practices, and that he felt that one day it's going to be featured more on the subject. So that's why he picked the OBGYN, which I thought it was very interesting.
Yes, extremely interesting. At what point, Dr. Ikagawa, did you start to think more deeply about the earliest consciousness and the thoughts of the baby and what the baby might be thinking or experiencing before birth?
いろんな人との関わりがあるんですけれども、一つは学校教育をやってる先生から 産婦人科だという紹介をしたところ、これからの教育はお産が良くならないと良くならないって言われたことが一つあったのと、うん、それから対抗催眠の本と出会ったのが一つで、お腹の中の赤ちゃんが対抗催眠ではこんな意識があるっていうことを知ったことによって、この二つが結びついたんですね。お腹の中の環境を良くすることが将来に自分に影響がするとしたら、赤ちゃんが何を言ってるか知りたいなと思ったんですね。それでこの世界に興味を持ったということになります。
いつ頃だっていうのは、
あ、それはね、もう2000年、1997年からですね。97年に、
はい、分かりました。はい、はい。Well, Dr. Berlin, he got interested in this field of study around 1997. So it's not like, you know, from the beginning of his medical career, but what really got him into this is that when he introduced himself as an OB-GYN doctor and talking to the educator,And one of the teacher was saying that the education cannot change if the birthing is not going to get better. So he was wondering what that meant, and he didn't know what could that mean. So at that time, he got interested into the hypnotherapy, regressive therapy, and that he found out that there are earlier memories. Then he thought,What's the correlation between the environment in the womb and what's the future is going to be like? And he started to want to know more about the consciousness of a baby.
Wow, that's so powerful. So by doing hypnotherapy, regression, going back, bringing people back to their earlier memories.
I think he just got to know about the hypnotherapy rather than him doing a hypnotherapy.
Oh, I see the idea. Yeah. That by going back, that you can go back even beyond birth.
Right, some patients just happen to go way before their time of like birth or the pregnancy or even before the conception.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. And then how do you go about studying? I mean, you have so much experience now in research and data. How do you go about studying what people remember before birth?
まず最初は私のところのスタッフに話したところ、スタッフの2人が自分の老い子さんにお腹の中で泳いでたっていう記憶を持ってる人と、小学校1年生で作文を書いて帝王切開の場面を詳しく書いてる作文を持っている人が二人いたんですね。で、それまで一切そういう話はなかったんだけども、私が子供が生まれる時に記憶あるよって言ったら、その二人が、いや、実は私知ってます、みたいな話を聞いたので、びっくりしたんですね。はい。それから、患者さんに、子供連れの患者さんいっぱい来るので、聞いてみたら、もうかなり多くの人が自分の子供に記憶があるっていうのを知っていた。でも、他の人には言っちゃいけないと思っていたっていうふうにおっしゃるんですね。
Well, how he started this study is when he got curious about the subject, he just casually talked to staff member in his clinic. And it happened to be two people at his clinic saying, well, I know my nephew, my grandson have this memory. And one actually boy wrote about it. And he wrote us a short essay at the school.They knew about how strange it was for the child to be remembering the time of birth. So he got curious and said, you know, would you share about it? And then more and more he started to talk about this subject. He find people talking about, well, you know, this is kind of strange, but, and then start talking about it. And once people opened up and talking about it, it's kind of like his research really started.From his clinic.
That's so fascinating. I have so many more questions and so much more I want to learn from you. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm.As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back. We're talking to Yuko and Dr. Ikagawa. I have so many more questions for you. Dr. Ikagawa, do you have prenatal memories yourself of before you were born?
Yeah, 私自身は全然持っていなくて、気がついたんですけど、記憶を持っている人というのは、自分の記憶に縛られて、他の人の言うことをあまり信じない方が多いんですけど、私は全く記憶がないので、いろんなことを言う人の話を全部聞くっていうふうに、なっているので、多分そのために記憶がないのかなとは思ってます。
Very interesting. Dr. Ikigawa says he does not have any sort of a memory, but he realizes that people who have earlier memory tend to have this sort of like set mind that they are not really open to listen to other people's story. But since he does not have any memory at all,It kind of like opened up to just listen to any stories that he got curious, and that's how he got all kinds of memories from people.
Oh, so that's so interesting. By being sort of a blank canvas.
Yes, exactly.
He can better absorb other
absorb,
people's.
Right, exactly.
Oh, fascinating. And how has this learning and understanding of what the babies are experiencing before birth, how has that changed your approach to obstetrics and gynecology?
これは産婦人科の、
ちょっと、はい、この、体内記憶を知って産婦人科医として何か変わりましたかということだったんですか？
もうそれまでは産科の常識としては今もそうですけど、赤ちゃんは見たり聞いたり覚えたりしてないっていうのが常識なんですけども、この赤ちゃんたちは私たちの言動とか行動をお腹の中から見てジャッジして、そして生まれてきた時も見ているんだっていうことを分かった時に、あ、これはちょっと襟を正さなきゃいけないな。襟を正してどういうのか分かりませんけど、態度を改めなきゃいけないなと本当に思いましたね。
Well, how it changed his practice is that once he found out about the babies, actually knowing all these, almost like having a census, which all the OBGYN, all the medical field are not aware of. Of course, back then, and even now, that people aren't really understanding this consciousness of the baby. So once he got to know about the babies holding these memories of what parents did or said or all kinds of things that just came up to him and like shared,made him realize that the babies are actually judging, you know, what was really happening around them and started to feel, oh, shoot, did I do the right thing for this baby? So he really started to like look back on his own like behaviors and how his practice was, and then really starting to connect with baby more so that he's more aligned.To baby's needs and wishes.
So now, like I assume, but I want to make sure that I have this right. Mm-hmm. Normally, as a provider working with a pregnant person, you see mm-hmm. the pregnant person as your patient. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is different. Maybe he's always seen both the woman and the baby as the patient. But mm-hmm. has that sort of changed? Does he consider, Dr. Ikagawa, do you consider both the mother and do you care for them differently with your newer understanding?
池川先生、このことを知って、妊婦さんがこう患者さんだっていう意識だったと思うんですけれど、この体内記憶を知ってから、この赤ちゃんの存在っていうのがあって、その産婦人科医としてまた やっぱりその診察とか診療とかに はい、あの変わったかどうかということを知りたいんですけど。
すごく変わりましたね。やっぱりあのそれまではお母さんの血圧とかその数値化できるもので評価していってたんですけども、うん、あのそうではないんだと。お母さんの心のあり方とか、うん、そういうものはものすごく赤ちゃんに影響するんだ、うん、それが私たちの一挙手一投足も赤ちゃん見てるんだっていうのを気がついたんですね。ちょっとあの一例を言うとですね、あの逆子の外回転術っていうのをやったことがあったんです、
うん、
でそのやったお子さんが女の子で生まれて中学生になった時なんですよ。12歳の時に14歳かの時に覚えていたんですよ。それで自分は逆子を直す気は全くなかったのに勝手に直しやがってって言ってたんですね、
うん、
でその子治らなかったんです。結局帝王切開になったんですけど、あのそれを14歳になっても恨んでるみたいなこと言うんですよ、
うん、
私は尊重されなかったみたいなこと、これを聞いた時にものすごいびっくりしました、
うん、Well, it's really made a huge difference, like it dramatically changed his practice, because before he knew about the consciousness of baby, it was really a matter of like looking at the numbers, you know, like if the mother is healthy, you know, as a, you know, blood pressure or, you know, vitals and things like that, and making sure the mother is doing fine, which equal to the baby's doing fine. But he wanted to share one of the story that there was a case of a bleached baby, and that actually the baby had to go through with a C-section. And after that, when this baby returned to him at 14 years of age, remembered about this incident, and that this baby, well, grown-up baby said, I didn't want you to fix me, yeah, because Dr. Ikegawa tried to manipulate so that the baby won't be a bleached baby. But it didn't happen that way. But the baby actually wanted to be bleached. It didn't want it to be intervened with that position. So then actually share with Dr. Ikegawa that I did not want you to do that. It's kind of like almost holding a grudges against him that the doctor did not respect my wish. It's like, you know, the baby's wish wasn't kept intact. So, you know, the baby becoming 14 years old and still remember this incident like really vividly. So that really made him change his practice because they do really know what's going on outside of the world. So
that's really interesting because, you know, we do a lot of work with breached babies and, you know, that's a calculation that I think a lot of people take into account. Like maybe if my baby's breached,
mm-hmm.
they want to be breached or they need to be breached. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a tough call sometimes. Yeah. Like how much should we do? You know, there's, I think one side, there's just giving the baby an environment in which they can turn if they want to. And then there's the option and opportunity to sort of more forcefully try to turn the baby. Do you have any sense that there's a way to get that communication before the baby is born?
生まれる前の赤ちゃんとコミュニケーションね。
そうですね。あの、結局、あの、逆子で痛い赤ちゃんと逆子でも、逆子じゃなくなっても大丈夫な赤ちゃんっていうのの違い、例えば、それこそ力ずくでやってしまうこともできると思うんですけど、その違い、その、
やっぱり、ね、許可をもらわなきゃいけない。赤ちゃんがどっちかわからないので、ね、直していいかどうかまず聞くんですね、
うん。
で、聞くゲームっていうのを使えるんですけども、あの、直していい場合は蹴るとか、直さない方がいい場合は蹴るとか、うん、あの、蹴らないとか、こう、合図を決めて、赤ちゃんに話しかけると、割と返事が来るんですよ。
うん
うん、で、それが本当かどうかはわからないけれども、一応赤ちゃんの意思ですね、もう一度確認して、もう直してほしければ、結構それで治るんですよ、そういう子って。ところが、治すなっていう場合は、多分危険があったりとか、何かの理由で直しちゃいけない場合もどうもあるらしいんですね。その場合赤ちゃんがノーって言ってきた場合は、直さないという、そのイエス、ノーっていうのを、やっぱり妊娠中から練習していると、なんとなくわかるようになるんですね。
うん。なるほど。Dr. Ikegawa actually asked for the permission before he does any procedure with the baby. And the way he does it is a variety of ways. But one of the way is like a kick game, like for the baby to be saying, well, if this is yes, kick here. Or if it's no, just don't do anything or something like that to actually set that parameter, like, you know, if this is yes or this is no. And then we try that questioning. And then if you get most of the time, the baby will answer. And sometime baby will say yes, sometime baby will say no. And usually when the baby says no, there might be some reason, like medically, maybe it's danger to the baby and didn't want it to actually be turned on that particular time. So in order for this like smooth communication with a baby, if the mother can practice during the pregnancy, this will make it easier for the whole duration of the pregnancy to communicate with the baby what the baby wants. So that's what he uses.
And this is part of the education program that you guys put together, teaching?
池川先生、これを元に
伝えてはいるんですけども、はい、やるお母さんとやらないお母さんと分かれてきます。うんうん、それで聞く方はいろいろあるんですけども、最終的には何も使わなくても感覚として赤ちゃんがイエスだったりノーだったりっていうのは分かるようになる方結構いるんですね。
うんうん、なるほど。
そういう方たちはもう本当日常会話のように赤ちゃんにどうするとかこう言って、うん、イエスノーとかやってる人も結構多いです。だからそれ日常で伝えはするんだけど、やる人とやらない人と分かれるということですね。
Well, Dr. Ikegawa actually does teach pregnant women about this information, but there are actually two ways. People who take it and do it, and people listen to it and don't. So people who takes his advice in and trying to communicate with baby, and they use this, you know, variety of a way to communicate, but most of them started to feel what the baby is thinking or feeling by their intuition. So they don't need to use any sort of like physical communication. They just do it intuitively, like with the senses. So it's kind of like, you know, having an ordinary conversation with a baby. Would you like to do this? And then the baby just naturally answer back to the mother without the language.
That's so
nonverbal.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to get more to how people can sort of learn more and maybe start to practice this on their own in the third segment. But before we get there, Yuko, how did you guys start to work together?
Actually, I have a 29-year-old boy who lives in the United States, and I have a 9-year-old girl here with me in Japan. And those two pregnancy and a birthing experience was a totally opposite. I had my son at the Naval Hospital in San Diego, California, and it was like using an epidural with a big hospital, and my son born with the umbilical cord wrapped around actually got torn inside of the womb.
Oh my goodness.
So that when he came out, he was like blue. He wasn't even crying, and he was took away from me right away and went to an NICU right away. So I didn't see him for 8 hours.
Wow.
It was really a traumatic experience. And
my heart is dropping right now, even just with you talking about it.
So, you know, when I thought of having a second child, I wanted to have a natural way as possible. And I had my daughter at the midwifery clinic, a small midwifery clinic in Japan. And it was really just natural birth, no medical intervention or anything like that at the age of almost 42. And it was wonderful. But then everything that I did was great until the birth. And then everything fell apart afterwards. It's like my caring for the baby, it just became really difficult. It's like I felt like I knew how to take care of baby. Baby always loves me. And I used to be a caregiver at the daycare center. Everybody loved me. What happened to my daughter? And it was just like so miserable. I thought I was like losing myself. And when I really lost the hope, it's like, you know, maybe I should die. It's like it got really to the point where not just you know, maternity blues or anything like that, it was like depression completely. And I got to know Dr. Ikegawa's work. It's like, wait, so the baby has a consciousness. Okay, let's take it back. Why my daughter is crying so much? and realized that I was going to dedicate my life for my daughter at that time, which is, you know, what all the mother thinks, right? But then I realized that it's not going to live my life. It's not my path. My daughter wanted me to get out there to connect with the world because she must knew what I am capable of doing. So once I realized that, and that the prenatal memory really like lightning struck to my consciousness, woke me up, and I decided to spread this knowledge because it helped me realize the really the important message that every single individual has a consciousness from before birth, not just from birth, before birth. And I wanted to help that word spread for Dr. Ikegawa, and that's what I'm doing, because I can spread that information in English. So,
wow, Yuka, what a incredible journey and powerful calling.
Thank you.
And I hope with all the lives that you're touching, mothers and babies and families, it's therapeutic for you also.
Yes, definitely.
Very difficult time that you went through.
Yes. And really, the funny thing is that my daughter was like terrible too from the infancy. Or maybe, you know, all that terrible parenting experience all put together. But more and more I got to know about the prenatal memory, helping out with Dr. Ikegawa, she's getting better and better and better. It's just like, just telling me that I'm on the right path.
That's amazing. Okay, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to find out how our listeners can learn more about prenatal memory and maybe start to apply these principles to their own lives. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Ikegawa and Yuko, and we're discussing prenatal memory, what babies remember from before birth. Okay, so as I mentioned at the introduction, I sort of came to your work through the documentary, Prenatal Memory. How did this documentary come to be?
Ikegawa-sensei, DVD のことを教えていただけますか?
DVD は2007年だっけ? 2006
年。
2006年。実は2005年にフジテレビで、ニュースの番組で、20分ぐらいかな。私の内容を放送されたんですね。で、テレビ局の放送は使えないので、私用に自分でオリジナル作ったらどうかと勧められて、作ったのがその番組になります。ですから、この内容はそっくり、日本のフジテレビで放送された内容なんですけども、中身を入れ替えてあって、で、子供たちが、テレビカメラの前でこれだけ証言するっていうのは、多分初めてだったんですね。あんまりなかったので、結構すごく評判受けた番組です。で、長いことあんまり眠っててね、あまり多くの人 DVD で配りまくってたんですけど、まあ、せっかくあるのでということで提供させていただいたということですね。
はい。So originally, the TV station actually captured 20 minutes documentary of his research in 2005. And since it was aired on television, he could not use that footage. So he was actually told that maybe he should make his own version of it. So then he released his own documentary with a different story, capturing almost the same line of the story, and released it in 2006. And he feels that it's probably the first ever scene capturing the children talking about their memory in front of the camera. And he created a DVD.
Yeah, and it is very fascinating, very powerful. You've assembled, you've gathered followers, certainly in Japan. You have a large network of diverse individuals, different types of practitioners and parents. How is that network growing, and what's the message that you're trying to spread?
池川先生、今体内記憶はいろいろな人たちに広がっていると思うんですけれど、そのネットワークはどんなふうに広がっているかっていうふうな感じなんですけれど、
一つは講師の人を養成していて、うん、今200人いるんですけども、その人たちが講座を開いてくれているのと、あとは興味を持った人が特にコロナ以降ですね、
うん、
SNS で広めてくださっていて、そのおかげで男の人もだいぶ興味を持ってくれてるっていう状態になっています。あとはもう一つは神様との約束って映画が、
うん、
これも2013年ですよね、にできて、うん、それ以降見る方がすごく、もう今30万人ぐらい見てるのかな、
うん、
だからかなりの方が、その映画をで知ることになって、映画と、まあ、そのプログラムですね、講演と、そういうことで、あとは私の本ですね、本を見て知ったという方も結構いらっしゃって、おそらく、体内記憶ということだけで言えば、日本国民の2割以上が、もう知っている段階に来ていると思います。
はい。Well, the way he's growing his network is that, first of all, about the prenatal memory, he has Prenatal Memory Education Association, which has about 200 instructors teaching the courses, so that they can spread this message to the wider range of people. And also because of the COVID, there were people starting to spread this information on the SNS. Actually, the majority of people who's receiving this information, because we're talking about the pregnancy and birth and childcare and things like that, mainly for the women, but now there are more men actually starting to get interested in spreading this message on the SNS. And also, there is a film. I think you are aware of Mr. Ogikubo's film, which was released in 2013 originally, and he's upgrading and updating the film. And it's actually 300,000 people or so watched his film already. And now he's working on this new one, focused on the baby's consciousness and how it is helpful to talk to the baby in the womb and what would change because of the way they communicate through the pregnancy, through the birthing process, and also the parenting. And also he does a lot of the lectures, and he, as you know, more than 80 books. I think it's just numbers just keep them growing. So and that's how he's spreading his messages.
That's incredible. And, a huge accomplishment, especially in addition to being a caregiver. It's amazing how much you're able to produce and disseminate. Here in the United States, what kind of resources or tools are available for people who want to learn more about prenatal consciousness and memory?
Yes, there are a couple of ways of getting information. There's a books that you can purchase from the Amazon. One is Womb to Thrive, and his message is in here too. And there's a Change Birthing and Parenting at Time of Crisis. And he wrote a essay on this. Also, there are an organization called APA, Association for Prenatal and Perinatal Psychology and Health. We are the member of APA, and you can find an article there, which actually has his first research paper. And he distributed about 3,600 questionnaires consisting of 85 questions in 2002 and 2003. And then he wrote about this result in that article. So,
oh, I'm very eager to read that.
Yes. And this is the reason why people at APA know about his work, because I think he interviewed 先生何人にインタビューしたんでしたっけ？諏訪氏と。
諏訪氏と3000、インタビューと
アンケートの
3601名に聞いて、1620の回答が、回収率 45%。1620人の答えが来たんですね。
So out of 3,600 questionnaires, he got 45% of returned questionnaire. So then he started to research about how to attain a memory and things like that. So amazingly, because of his 40 years of work, the concept of prenatal memory among Japanese people, there are about 20% of people already know about this concept.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, amazing.
I'm fascinated. You could probably hear it in my voice. I interview a lot of people about a lot of different topics. This one just keeps my jaw dropping, and I'm just scratching the surface. And the reason also is because I'm working with pregnant people every day.
Yes.
And sharing these ideas, just basic ideas to go home and think about. And then they come back and they're like, wow, I'm so much more connected to my baby now during the pregnancy. And some of the discomforts of my pregnancy no longer really matter to me because I'm so already relating to and connecting to my baby. And the truth is that happens on the other side too. Like once the baby comes out and you're bending, lifting, holding, feeding, changing, not sleeping well, you know, those don't matter as much to people because they have the baby and they're connecting to the baby. But you could do that before the baby's even born. I'm so grateful to both of you for joining me today and for the incredible work that you're doing, groundbreaking work that you're doing. So for listeners to find you online, we have a website, akiraikagawa.com/en. So it's akiraikagawa.com/en for English. And also your YouTube page is at prenatal memory 5398. And there's a lot of English content there as well. Dr. Ikagawa, Yuko, thank you very much for joining me. I look forward to connecting with you again, and I'm sure to consuming the future materials that you're currently working on.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure. To our listeners, if you're looking for more information about pregnancy and parenting, visit informedpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby. Not even diaper rash.